Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting and we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others. We are going to be reading page 95, the first paragraph that begins with Unless You're Friend. Today's readers are Patty T. with the 12 Steps, Martha M. with the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., Leslie W., Carrie S. We have Kara L. greeting our newcomers and getting sponsor numbers at the end of the meeting, and Leslie W. has some important announcements for you then. The reference number for this morning's for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, March 3rd, is 14204. That's 14204. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, March 4th, is 14210. That's 14210. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty T. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Elaine. This is Patty T. from Southern California, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Patty T. I now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Martha M. I'm from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive under and overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Have a great day.
Thanks, Martha, and for yours. You too. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 95, and we're going to read and comment on the first paragraph. And I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. Unless your friend wants to talk further about himself, do not wear out your welcome. Give him a chance to think it over. If you do stay, let him steer the conversation in any direction he likes. Sometimes a new man is anxious to proceed at once, and you may be tempted to let him do so. This is sometimes a mistake. If he has trouble later, he is likely to say you rushed him. You will be most successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked for you. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. As I was reflecting on this paragraph, I thought about what worked for me. And I know for sure, if preaching would have worked for me, I would have been recovered decades ago. The person that reached my spirit was kind and loving. That person approached me with humility and was simply a conduit for my higher power's message. They engaged me, offering hope with a solution that had worked for them. And they were the example of that solution of being a recovered compulsive overeater. And boy, was that appealing to me. But they didn't push. They didn't insist. They just offered. And I could see in that person that they were living in God's grace and with that freedom that comes to all of us when we do this work. So I know where the real answer is, but I can't push it on anyone else. I have to gently offer my support and just let them know I'm available. Because if I were to give direction without compassion, you know, that's simply brutality and ego. And I have had that exhibited to me in the past, and it never worked. And so I know, as someone being able to offer a new way of living for another person struggling, I have to do it on a whole different level. And all I have to do is really, first of all, ask God to direct my approach. And then always remember to be seeking what God would have me be when I'm approaching someone else. And in that way, I know I'm on the right track. And to be able to be a good listener is so important, because I think sometimes the newcomer really just needs to share what's on their heart, and to let them understand that you care, that I care, and I have an offer for something that might help. So, and I really do sincerely let them know that I do want to help. And therein lies the gift that we have to give. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Penny Elsie. Oh, we're off to a great start. Who else would like to comment on the first paragraph on page 95?
Lisa G.
I'm Rossi.
Elena C.
Teresa L.
Ooh, wow.
Carol K.
Okay.
Abby.
Teresa L. Did I hear Kara K?
Maggie C.
I did hear Abby. Let's see.
Bruce
did I hear Maggie?
Maggie C.
Maggie C. Okay, here's what I got. I got Lisa G, Tamara C, Sarit L, Abby S, I believe, and Maggie and Bruce E. And the rest of you will catch on the second round. Okay, and who was that who just said their name? We'll put you on the lineup for the next round.
Elena C.
Elena C. Okay, you'll be in round two if you kick us off in that one. So Lisa G, Tamara C, Sarit L, Abby S, Maggie, I'll need the first initial of your last name, and Bruce E. Okay, Lisa, please go ahead.
Hey, Elaine, thank you. This is Lisa G from Texas. And this whole chapter has just been really weighing heart, very heavy on my heart, because, you know, when we're out and about and we see people, you know, that are extremely overweight, excuse me, guys, sorry. When I see people that are extremely overweight, it just, you know, I just want to run up to them and say, I have an answer, but, you know, of course, I don't do that. Well, I have a friend that I've known for 38 years, and we're not close friends. He's really more of a old friend of my husband's, and he is grossly obese, and he's an atheist. And, you know, he has been on my heart since we've started this chapter, and I have just been praying and praying, you know, God, do you want me to talk to him? Do you want me to call him? And I think this is a common thing, or I'm assuming it's a common thing for us, because when we have people that we know that are suffering from this disease, you know, whether they have a higher power or not, it's touchy. It's a touchy, tricky thing to know whether or not to approach them and to say anything, and without them asking, hey, what are you doing? You know, and I don't see this person on a regular basis at all, just at events, weddings, funerals, and the such. But I can't get them out of my mind. And so I'm just going to keep praying. And I think that's the key right there is to just keep asking God, you know, do you want me to approach this person? And then if the answer is yes, then how? You know, how? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And so that's where I'm at right now. Because I see this person and this person is not a happy person. He's had tragedy in his life, and I get it. And anyway, that's really all I have to share, because this has really sparked this desire in me to try and help him. And more will be revealed. But anyway, thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lisa G. Tamara C., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Sarik L.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered in Central California. On this paragraph, it says, simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked with you. And that's what my sponsor did for me. She just said, here are the steps. Here's how they worked for me. And she didn't talk down to me from any hilltop. She was just very gentle and loving and sincere and honest. She shared her experience with me. And she was humble enough to say, let me check with my sponsor on that. And so because she modeled that for me, it gave me courage. I mean, I was pretty scared to sponsor when I got to step 12, but I could look back at how she sponsored me, and I knew that I didn't have to do it alone. I could offer myself as a guide for others, knowing that I could reach out to other more experienced sponsors, and I did, and I received wonderful support and a lot of help from their experience, and I also learned so much from my few sponsees that I've had, and from my higher power just guiding me. And so I'm still pretty green, but I'm willing to keep growing in usefulness and effectiveness. And so thank you, everyone, for being there. This is a really beautiful fellowship, and I am so honored to be a part of it. I pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. I feel the same way. Beautiful fellowship. Glad to be part of it. Sarit L., you're up next, and you're followed by Abby S.
Hi, it's Sarit L. Yeah, just unmuting myself. Thank you.
Oh,
Sarit L. recovered in Montreal, and thank you for your service. Oh, there's so much to say in this paragraph. I just am so happy to be here with all of you live. When people would come on and say they're grateful, it's like so overused, but really it's just so nice to be part of a family, and I have somewhere to go at 10 a.m., Eastern time, and this is my priority. So we talk, we'll be most successful with alcoholics if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. And it uses the word here, most successful with alcoholics, most successful, like the big book here is trying to help us help others and is giving us a complete detailed illustration and demonstration of how to go about working with other people, because it wants the success, you know, of the alcoholics. And so, yes, you know, we're looking for our own success, which is that we end up remaining abstinent when we work with other people. But how are we going to be best successful in helping the other person stay abstinent? And that way is to not come across in a way that's pushy. You know, we don't judge them for not being ready, or we don't push across or force anything down their throats. And everyone knows, I speak for myself, but nothing will last if it's forced onto me. And I don't want it if it's forced onto me. Don't you even try, because if my mother-in-law tells me to do something, it's already the wrong thing to do. It's not, you know, it's already wrong, and I won't do it. So it can't be pushed down to me. And I wasn't ready to put down the food until I was ready to put down the food. And that's what they mean when they say willingness is a one-man job. It has to come from within, the willingness, because then Mickey Mouse can sponsor you. Then Mickey Mouse can sponsor me. It doesn't matter who the sponsor is at all. It's when the person is ready. Then you know, you can talk to that person and he's willing to take direction. So, simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. So what was it for me that worked for me that I can then share with the other person, because I'm only going to be able to give across my experience. I'm not better than because I have recovery today or because I'm not struggling in the food today. I'm not better than. That's a dishonesty. And so what would God have me be today? He would have me be humble and altruistically giving to that other person in need. Altruistically giving and humble. Those are the two words that I'm going to take in my sponsorship today. And helping others today, because I'm not seeking security from other people. I have to seek that in God today, and I do seek that in God today. People will always fail me, and people cannot. Yeah, thank you. And I can't get that from people. I can't get that from people today, because that's a deep pit that can never ever be filled. Only God can fill that for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sarit L. Abby S. You are up next, and you'll be followed by Maggie. Not sure what your first notion or last name is. Please go ahead, Abby.
Hello, everyone. This is Abby, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. I am grateful for this big book because it gets me back on track. Like, oh, my gosh, how guilty am I of doing that? Oh, my gosh, this has been coming up a few times for me lately, like, speaking from that, like, moral, pedestal towards other people. And I've noticed it happened 3 times recently. So I did it with a sponsee. I sent a text message that was not the kindest. It was like, you're not willing to go to any length. And it was just like, it may or may not have been true, but that's not the point. It wasn't it was just, like, didn't come off right, you know, and it was a text. So a couple of days go by, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I have to make an amends for that. Like, that was not kind. And so I made amends, and she, of course, was sweet and was like, it's okay, you know, but I just knew it wasn't okay. And then the next time, I'm on a meeting the other day, and I go to speak, and something literally happened inside me where it was like, all of a sudden, I wanted to start telling everybody, like, how to, like, work a 10th step. Like I'm preaching and teaching everyone else. Like, who made me the big book? Nobody, you know? And so immediately I felt that inside my body, and I did a little voice. I was at work, so I couldn't call someone, but I did a little, like, voice message thing to my recovery buddy and was like, hey, like, something just happened inside me where I felt like I needed to start teaching everyone things. And I'm just noticing this, like, without God, like, my natural self is, like, judgmental and ego. And so I really need help with this. And, you know, the other time was, I forgot what the other time was, but there was 3 things that happened recently where I'm just like, wow, it is not preaching. And that did not work for me. Like, my sponsor was so gentle with me, and my multiple sponsors I've had. And, you know, I did recover with someone working the steps who was pretty, like, you know, no, that's ridiculous. Don't do that. But I think, again, that comes back to you because I was ready. That was the time for me, and I just so happened to go through the steps with her. But the people who have lasted a long periods of time in my life, like, this, just, I'm thinking of this one sponsor. I had this one sponsor for like 2 years, and just so gentle, like, oh, okay, like, I come up with my own idea of some crazy thing that probably sounded really crazy, and my sponsor's just like, okay, well, you know, see how that works. And, you know, I knew it was crazy, you know, but I had to find that out for myself. So I need God's
gentle
help.
Reminder.
So, okay, for that, I need God's help so much with this because my ego is just crazy lately. Okay, thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Abby S. Maggie, what is the first initial of your last name? You're going to be followed by
C.
Maggie C, thank you. Bruce C is lined up after you, and then we'll take another lineup. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Maggie C from Connecticut. Been looking into the big book. I'm new, been searching for a sponsor, and it's interesting listening to everyone talk about how grateful they are for their sponsors and going through the 12 steps. But meanwhile, I'm banging my head up against the wall because I cannot find someone. And I'm not sure if I'm putting that resistance up, but I am calling people. They don't call back. I'm texting people. They don't text back. I'm putting it in a Facebook group. I'm going on sponsor lists. And I got so angry the other day. I was crying and just looking up at God saying, are you happy now? And then trying to analyze or figure out why, if these are the steps I want to take and the place I want to go and I'm ready for help, am I not able to find it? So it's kind of just this place I'm in. And even this morning I tried to get on a call at 7 a.m. and the call, there wasn't a meeting. It was just, I'm just wondering, am I putting this resistance there? Is it a test? I think it's just one of those things you go in, you go too deep into yourself and you tend to overanalyze things. On another note, I have had, I think it's probably about 15 people I reached out to, I have had a few people respond. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm just trying to sit back on my haunches and be okay with that. But when I was making the calls, I was in such a place of desperation, and I have heard stories where people are in a place of desperation and they meet the ideal sponsor. So I'm in that space where I really truly believe I'm ready, but I haven't found my perfect match apparently, and maybe that's God just saying, you know, be patient a little bit longer. I'm just tired of doing this on my own. I can't do it on my own. I openly admit that I can't do it on my own. I can't get to a meeting, which is the worst part, because the only meeting in my area, it happens during work hours. So I have been doing phone meetings every day, sometimes twice a day, trying to do 90 meetings in 90 days. So I am grateful. I don't want to appear ungrateful. I'm just ready for next steps, and I'm glad I at least have access to your words and your experiences, and I hope I can lend more from them. So thank you for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Maggie C. You're in the right place, going in the right direction, and later on we'll have numbers of sponsors being given on this meeting. So please stand by. Okay, we're going to hear from Bruce E., and then we're going to take another lineup on people who'd like to share on page 95, paragraph 1. And we already have Elena C. at the top of the next lineup, but we'll check in for more right after Bruce E. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I'm Bruce E. Thank you very much. And I'm recovering down here in Southwest Florida. Wear out your welcome. Well, how many times have I done that? I've done that a few times. Excuse me. Give them a chance to think it over. Yeah, let them think about this thing. If you do stay, let him steer the conversation in any direction he likes. So, in other words, excuse me, he can take this thing whatever way, direction he likes. He can give him a chance to talk for, you know, this is what I need to do. Instead of jumping in with all my ego and all my, you know, let me fix you type stuff. You know, let him talk a little bit. Let him take it in any direction. So that might take it in a lot of directions I don't want it to go, you know. And sometimes he may be anxious to precede at once. So take it easy, Bruce. Take it easy. Take it slow. And let go and let God. You'll be most successful with alcoholics if you did not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. Never talk down to an alcoholic. Now, how many times have I done that? Gotten on a line or gotten on the phone with somebody and said, here's the way I did it. This is the way you need to do it. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I've been on a spiritual hilltop, talked down to people, thinking I've got it all together. They don't have anything. I know everything. They don't know anything. It's just saying, take it easy, you know, I need to check my ego at the door when I go to visit somebody or visit them on the phone, check my ego before I get on there. And show him how they work for you. Then I show him, you know, well, this is what worked for me, you know, and let him know. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. Yeah, so I'm just a trusted servant, right? I mean, I'm just a guy that just try, how can I best help? Say it, how can I best serve thee? Thy will be done, not mine. I just serve my higher power, carrying a message to somebody and talking with them. And, you know, I don't have to be God. It says in a big book, I think it's page 62, I got to quit playing God. You know, that didn't work. I tried it. It didn't work. So I'm just doing that. I'm very grateful. I'm on step 8 and 9. I had surgery yesterday, neck surgery. So I'm in recovery from that. Thank you to those that have prayed for me, and thank you to those that wish to. And I need a lot of prayer. So thanks, and I'm glad to share on the line, glad to be in this fellowship, and I'm very grateful. So I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce D. So we're going to take a few people to comment on paragraph on page 95, first paragraph, unless your friend. We have Elaine C. in the first position. Who else would like to comment?
Sherry K.
Michelle.
Michelle.
Mella.
Terry S.
I heard Sherry, Terry S. and Michelle.
Sherry K. B.
I got Sherry K. B. Terry S.
Leslie W.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure now.
I heard a gentleman's voice in there. Who is that?
Stephen G.
Stephen G. And L. Nancy L. Okay, sorry I wasn't able to get all of you guys. We definitely don't have time for 7 shares, and it might be tight even with 6 at this point. So if you're able to shave a moment or two off of your share, that would be awesome. We got Elena C., Sherry KB, Terry S., Michelle, don't know the initial of your last name, Stephen, didn't catch yours either, Nancy L., and Melanie. If we can fit all y'all in, we will. So we'll try. Okay, we're starting out with Elena C. Please press star 1 to unmute if you're Elena, and if you're not, please press star 1 to mute. Okay, thanks so much.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm so grateful to be a member of this fellowship and this meeting today. And I hear in this paragraph radical acceptance, radical respect, patience, and space that we owe to others. Okay. And I think it can transfer to any areas of my life, not only my fancies. So I like give him a chance to think it over. Give him a chance to think it. Let him be, you know, let him have that experience of his or her own higher power, and let him just come up on his own terms with wherever he's at. Let him suffer pain. I think pain is necessary in our condition. Don't take the pain away, because if I go and take the pain away, you know, from people, I interfere with their own relationship with their own higher power. So another thing I like to just, if he has trouble later, he's likely to say you rushed him. So when I am not, when I go over there in that person's space, I take on from him or her their responsibility to themselves and to this condition, and it's more likely that they will blame it on me. So I'm just the cat. I'm going to be the cat that's going to be kicked when he comes home from work, and you know, and so I am depriving him of their own responsibility to themselves. And also further this sentence, you will be most successful with alcoholics. You do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform. You know, so again, let him or her be. Stay patient. Stay connected with my higher power, you know, and be there when it's time, when he comes or he or she comes towards me and is ready. And, like, pay attention to that sign. And that's the best thing that I could ever do for anybody. And so, and again, you know, offer him friendship and fellowship. Friendship is support, understanding. You know, friendship is not forcefully telling someone to do what I want them to do. And fellowship is connection and safety. And, you know, and then again, when that happens, when he's ready, then I can step in. Then I can say, I'm here for you to share with you my experience, strength, and hope, and do everything I can, you know, to assist you with what you want to be, not what I want them to be. And, you know, and then again, but when I do anything to help, it doesn't mean that I can drive myself crazy and I can totally act selflessly, which I can because I'm an adult child of an alcoholic and I know that MO. And that's not
a reminder.
And so I'm glad to be here. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Elena C. Sherry KB, you are up next, followed by Terry S.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, as always, and Team Wednesday, and welcome everybody on the line. Do not wear out your welcome. Give them a chance to think it over. Depends on what situation I'm in. Like if somebody calls me and starts talking to me about the program, I lay out all the information that what I do, how I take people through the big book, and what I require, and then I hand it over to them and ask them if they want to think it over and then to give me a call back. That's usually what I do. I keep it very simple, I don't preach. I don't crusade for it. I don't do any of that. I just tell them how it worked for me, and I also believe in, you know, being God directed, and I ask God to speak through me when I'm talking to them. I also feel like it is that I feel like my higher power brings people to me. I really do. I really believe that because my whole job is to get them to fully rely on their higher power. And by doing that, by laying this simple toolkit at their feet for their inspection, is how that starts working. And I do offer friendship and fellowship, and there is a difference between the two. Friendship is different than fellowship. Fellowship is kind of helping them if they have questions or whatever about the program, but program is different. The fellowship is helping them through if they want to talk to me about what they walk through or various things with the program or whatnot. That's offering fellowship, and working the program is a totally different thing. So I always ask God to guide me and direct me. And definitely do not preach from a spiritual rooftop. Definitely not. I always tell them that when they're interested that I need them just as much as they need me and that this is what worked for me and that if they're interested to give me a call when I'm at a meeting, I usually hand out cards that have a vision for you on it and I put my phone number on the back and say if you're really interested, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about this. It's helped me a lot. So that's what I do. And I'll pass. Thanks, Elaine. Thanks for your service.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. Terry S., you are up next, followed by Michelle. Not sure what your last initial is. Please go ahead, Terry.
Hi, good morning, visionaries. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. And this chapter is just so important because as a sponsor and a sponsee, I have found there is so much to learn about both sides of that. But what struck me in this paragraph was, you know, if they're eager to start immediately, and I'm sorry, I don't have the book open right now, but, you know, don't take them on immediately. It could be a mistake. And what I have found is when I'm asking people, you know, what they're needing, what they're wanting, then I look at, you know, are they abstinent? Are they clear about their abstinence? Do they need help with their abstinence? And giving people the dignity of choice or helping them figure that out usually gives them a few days to figure out if they're willing to start taking the work on. And gives me a chance to get to kind of feel out where they're at, and then we get started. So the other point I wanted to make is I have certainly worn out my welcome. I don't preach reform at meetings per se, but I've certainly been uber enthusiastic and just, you know, wanting to buy everybody a copy of the big book. And, you know, I struggled for over 30 years in OA off and on with relapse. And so this is the way to do it, which I guess is reform. But I'm so excited about it that I know sometimes that can turn people off, and I have to kind of tone it down. But it bubbles up all the time because my life is transformed, and there is no other way to say that. Through working these steps, I am not reacting to life, overreacting to life in the old way of what Terry used to do. I don't do it perfectly, but with the step work that I've done, I feel different. And it's not just the abstinence and it's not just the weight loss. It's my higher power. It is really leaning into God. And that's my only job as a sponsor, is to help people find their way to their higher power so that they can have something to lean into as well. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Terry S. And so, Michelle, please share the first initial of your last name, and you're followed by Steve, who also I know didn't get his initial. Michelle?
Thank you so much. Yes, good morning. This is Michelle J. from Arkansas. Recovered overeater. You're welcome, but always recovering. I'm, again, going to call myself the newbie, a year and a half in program, 1 year, about a half a year in a mentorship. And, you know, I'm listening to everybody, and I'm just going to say it's some of the same stuff, but maybe in a different, I don't know, maybe in a different way. But I was thinking so much about our relationships and how, for me, learning in this program, how broken my relationship abilities were. And through program, working with others, learning how to have healthy relationships and how to listen, that's still, I'm still recovering there. To listen is so hard, and to hear is even harder. I need to hear what is going on the other side, which means I've got to set myself away. That's hard. I'm still working on that. You know, it's a daily thing. But I want so badly to be of use, because you guys were of use to me and still are. We need each other. And so every day I am learning how to have these relationships with others, either as a mentee or a mentor or in fellowship or as a friend. It's all there for me. And I've never had more precious, healthy relationships in my life of 59 years. This is miraculous. And with that, I just wanted to say that we just need to keep working at it, because we need to hear, to listen, and to get out there. And yes, do I make mistakes along the way? Yeah. Do I have days where my mouth won't shut up? Mm-hmm. So I just have to keep going. And keep working it, and keep working with others, and we are making a difference. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle J. So, Steve, you're up next, Stephen, and can you give me the first initial of your last name? And I'm sorry?
Yes. Yes, my name is Stephen G.
Stephen G. And if you could shave, yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Grateful to be able to share today. So what this paragraph, I believe, is trying to tell me is how to be in relation with somebody who is new to the program and is maybe considering working the steps and maybe considering me for sponsorship. And I think this is a reflection of the 11th tradition, which says our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. And as it says in a doctor's opinion, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. So it's really not about what I say. My experience of the disease myself and my experience of sponsoring people is that the only thing that convinces is the disease. It's nothing that I say. And so when it says you'll be most successful as an alcoholic if you do not exhibit any passion for crusade or reform, all I do is tell them my story, tell them how I work the steps using the big book, and that's it. And then they can decide for themselves. As we see in Bill's story, and also I think in Dr. Bob's nightmare, is what convinces Bill and Dr. Bob is just the misery of their disease. But what convinces them to work the steps is the message that they see in Abby Thatcher and the message that they see in a recovered Bill Wilson. So I am the message, not really what I say, but by the fact that I've got a look in my eyes that suggests that I've got a spiritual recovery. I've got physical recovery as well. And so I don't really have to tell people anything. And so I try my best just to say, here's what happened to me. Here's what it says in the big book. That's what I did. And if you want to do that, let me know. And I think this paragraph about friendship and fellowship, I offer fellowship to people and I offer friendliness to people. I'm not sure I offer friendship because I find that some people, if they don't want to work the steps, really just want to spend time complaining. And because that's where I was when I was in the disease. And so my job really is to offer the solution. And I'm happy to talk to anybody about anything. But if I find that people are just sort of calling me just to complain or to talk about to live in the disease, then I just refer them to the steps and I try to set healthy boundaries around that. And so that's just sort of my approach. And I'm grateful to be able to share today. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. Appreciate that. Okay. I'm afraid, Melanie, we're not going to have time for you. Nancy L., you're going to be our last share for today. Or Nancy C.? Was there Nancy?
I'm Nancy L.
All right.
In
Please
Georgia.
Go ahead. Thank you.
I love the big book, but this chapter today just reminds me of some character defects that I need to humbly ask God to remove. I've been in this program for 6 years. However, I have got 60 days and 90 days and relapsed and did it over and over again. And for the first time, I have a year of clean abstinence. And my heart is so grateful for the program that sometimes my passion for the program just overrides all my sensibilities. And I'll share this with the folks on the line. One day in the grocery store, I saw a very obese gentleman riding a cart around, and I really stalked the man. I wanted so much to have a conversation with him. And then I realized this is what you call insanity. You can't bring this to somebody if they're not ready to receive it. But I laughed at myself for stalking a man on a cart in the grocery store so I could tell him and carry a message. Today, if I get a chance to carry the message, I hope I will do it the way God would have me to do it and not be so passionate that I forget to share the toolkit. I love that. We have such a wonderful toolkit in OA, and to share the steps and the toolkit with someone who I know is still suffering. So I thank you for those of you that are on the phone. I thank you for your sharing of your experience, strength, and hope. I thank you for holding this meeting so I can have access to it, because I do not have access to a lot of meetings here in my little town. I thank you for letting me share, and I will close with that. I pass.
Thank you very much. Yes, we will close with that. And thank you to everyone who shared, listened, came, and made this meeting possible. We're now going to transition by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer.
Will Leslie W. please read a vision for you?
Hey, Elaine. All right. Can you hear me? I'm having a little difficulty.
Yes.
With
yep.
My...
You sound great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Okay. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep